الفاتحة. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. الله. According to our program tonight, we will start a short commentary over Surah Al-Qadr, and hopefully, inshallah, by tomorrow we would like to end this commentary. Obviously, when looking at the commentary of the Holy Quran, it's an ocean in itself. Sometimes you are tackling a small surah, but you realize afterwards that it is really an ocean that you are tackling, because there are so many gems to be extracted. As you know, the prophetic tradition that says, لِلْقُرْآنُ ظَهْرٌ وَلِظَهْرِهِ ظَهْرٌ وَلِظَهْرِهِ بَطْنٌ إِلَى سَبْعَ بُطُونَ. That is, the Quran has an apparent meaning and it has an inner meaning, and that inner meaning has seven inner meanings, سَبْعَ بُطُونَ. In another verse or in another prophetic tradition, سَبْعِينَ بُطُونًا, 70 inner meanings. But great scholars like Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amuli and others say that these adad 7 and 70 are adadul kithrah. That is, you know, if you would like to say that something is so much or infinitely much, abundantly there, you say sab'a or sab'een or sab'amiyah or sab'at alaf and so on. Therefore, he says that in reality, if you go and see, because the source of the Holy Quran is an infinite being, therefore, the reality of the Holy Quran precludes towards infinity. And therefore, the more you dig, the more you have something, but you cannot comprehend. And that's why you'll find that some of the verses, according to some of the traditions, even the A'imma alayhim salam would seek help by the Holy Quran, clearly saying that, إِنِّي لَأَتْلُبِ الدَّرَجَ بِالْقُرْآنِ بِقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. Now, as far as the A'imma alayhim salam wanting a higher daraja, we first of all cannot comprehend their status. لَا يُقَاسُ بِنَا أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. No one can be compared to us that is there. But there is something known as, basically, if you know this principle, you'll come to realize the reality, that scholars of Gnosis have mentioned four spiritual journeys. The most fundamental of these four journeys are the first two journeys. The first journey is from min al khalq ila al haqq, from the creation to Allah. The same thing that we are reciting in Munajat Sha'baniya, hatta takhriqa absar al qulubi hujub al nur fatasila ila ma'din al azama. This is the first journey, which ends up to a certain level whereby a person sees that in reality there is no existence except Allah. All of us are manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second spiritual journey, which starts and which has no end, is min al-haq ila al-haq bil-haq, from Allah to Allah by Allah. What is that? That means that now that you have reached a certain sanctity, a certain status, now you can gain more and more perfection of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because His attributes are infinite, there is no end, therefore the journey has no end. And if you understand these two, you will come to realize that why are we saying that the A'imma alayhimus salam want more and more daraja, because there is no end to the perfections. And if you look at the verse of the Holy Quran that we quoted earlier, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ, we say that sometimes we talk about وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ with a seen, then we know that there is a path that ends to a certain point. But when we say وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ with a saad, that means there is a process of becoming. There is something known as sayrura, that is, you are becoming and going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are gaining the perfections of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you notice, you'll find so many verses either saying wa ilayhi al-masir, wa ilayka al-masir, wa ila Allah al-masir. All these have specific connotations, there are subtleties involved in it. But what is important is that the end is Allah. And therefore, you know, the salawat that we recite, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. We are in reality seeking more higher levels for the A'imma alayhimus salam. But there is an important thing that the scholars have pointed out, and that is, they have said that don't think that because of your dua, the A'imma alayhimus salam are going higher in status. Why? Because whatever you do, even the tawfiq of reciting a salawat is by them. Because awwalu ma khalaqa Allah nur Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The first creation that Allah created is the light of the Holy Prophet. Wa minhu khulika kullu khair. And from that every good is being created. That means even the knowledge that you have, the tawfiq that you get, everything that we get is, of course, the source, original source is Allah, because everything comes from Allah. But He has made the nur of the Holy Prophet to be a mediator. It is through them that we get all these things. And therefore, even when we say salawat, it is through them that we say salawat. But Allama Tabatabai mentions a very beautiful example. He says, you know, actually, when you recite, a person would say, then why should we recite salawat? If our dua is not accepted, and actually it is they who are the ones who make us recite a salawat, then why do we recite a salawat? What benefit does it give to them? Allama Tabatabai makes a very beautiful allusion to that. He says that, think that you are a slave of a master, and you don't have anything at your disposal, nothing. Even your property, actually, in Islam, even the slave's property is the master's property. He doesn't have anything. And the master trusts you and even loves you, and you love the master. But you are a slave and you don't have anything. And the master has a very beautiful rose garden, sweet smelling roses. You pluck some roses and you go to the master and say, this is for you. And the master gets happy, because obviously this is a kind of devotion. But where have you got the roses from? It's the master's garden, isn't it? You have not taken it out from your own pocket, or you don't have any property of your own. Similarly with our case. In reality, we are showing that izzah to the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and that love to the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. In reality, we don't have anything. And when we say salawat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases their station. But we should not think that it is because of our salawat their station is increased. And the salawat is so powerful, and it gives so powerful an effect, that inshallah when we'll talk about salawat, you'll come to realize that how the roots of salawat are so powerful, that when you recite salawat and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. See, the A'imma alayhimus salam, the parable that some scholars cite is that when the grace comes, they don't catch it that way. They catch it that way. So when the grace comes, it passes through them and it goes to the person who has recited salawat as well. So we say the salawat this. And especially these are the moments of salawat. If you go and see the whole night, Laylatul Jumu'ah and the Thursday itself are so precious days that if you look at the riwayat, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحب يوم الخميس. اللهم صل على محمد. He would love Thursdays and Thursday nights and Fridays. These are the, this is an opportunity within an opportunity. The opportunity is the holy month of Ramadan. Within that opportunity comes the Laylatul Jumu'ah and the day of Jumu'ah, which are very precious. But so it's very important to realize this, that whatever we do, it is, the source is Allah. Everything is from Allah. But it is through the Ahlul Bayt, He has given them the power. Whatever they do is bi-idhnillah. Those people who raise the ambiguity that, you know, it is shirk. See, unfortunately, this has been disseminated even in our, within our communities through emails and so on. And I've been seeing this in some of my emails. Sometimes people send these kinds of emails that, why should you ask to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam? That is shirk. You ask to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Directly, if you ask from the Ahlul Bayt, that is shirk. Obviously, this person has not understood what shirk is, because if you ask an electrician, can you repair this for me? If you have a bulb which is not working or a short circuit and all that, you tell an electrician, can you repair this for me? Are you doing shirk? Mind you, each and everything that that person does, the brain that he is using, the movement he is making, everything is bi-idhnillah, by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he doesn't have anything of his own. And mind you, the relation between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the builder and the building. That if the builder goes away and sleeps, the building is erect. It's that way, isn't it? But Allah's relationship with us is that every moment He is giving us grace. Every moment. So if He doesn't say kun, fayakun will not transpire. And that is why, if you look at the verse of the Holy Quran that says, وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ جَامِدَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. You think that the mountains are stationary, but they are passing like the passing clouds. Every moment a new mountain is coming. You cannot vision because of your limitation of vision. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving wujud to every person every moment. Now, when you go to the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, it is bi-idhnillah everything they do. Like what Nabi Isa alayhi salam and the other prophets would do. Whatever they did was not out of independent power. It was out of dependent power. Even the small things like an electrician helping you or anybody helping you. You can't say that is shirk. Similar is with the case of the Aimmah alayhi salam. The way Asaf bin Barkhiya brings the throne of Queen Bilqis before the blink of the eye. Similarly, the Aimmah alayhi salam can do all these things. But bi-idhnillah, they don't have independent power. And therefore when you go to them and address them, this should be in your mind. That the Aimmah alayhi salam, because they are qareeb and near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because they have the wilaya takwiniya, that is the ontological influence, they can influence the existence, that is why they can help us. But that doesn't mean that we are doing shirk. This is something which is disseminated surprisingly in some of the communities, and some people are adamant followers of that. That no, this is shirk. You go to the Prophet or the Aimmah alayhi salam and ask them to pray for you. Yes, that is also allowed. But you can also ask them directly, because they have a higher, now that they are going to the barzakh, they have even a higher kind of influence on this earthly existence, which is the alamul mulk. Say the salawat, please. So we are talking about the Holy Quran, that the Holy Quran has a lot of meaning, and we, let us start today with Suratul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see, with regard to us, the Shias, we believe that every Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is a part of the surah. Although in the Quran, we don't, the numbering is not like that, because we want that unity with the Muslims who have, but every Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is a part of the surah. All surahs which have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is a part of the surah, not that it is not a part of the surah, you are just starting with Bismillah. Imam Khomeini has a very good discussion. He says that, and every Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the meaning of every Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is according to the surah. Although there is a general meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the general connotation, but there is a specific connotation of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim related to the surah. So this is how we recite surah Inna Anzalna. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna Anzalnahu fi Laylatil Qadr. That means, with the power, by the name Allah, which is the all-comprehensive name, which includes all the attributes of Allah, bi-ismillah, who is Rahman, who has all-comprehensive mercy, and Rahim, who has specific mercy. So, by this name, anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, we sent the Quran in Laylatul Qadr. That means the Quran is a manifestation of the Asma'ullah. If you go and see the whole Quran and you ponder over it, you find that all the realities of all the verses refer to Asma'ullah. Because Allah is that all comprehensive name. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. This is how we understand it. This is point number one. Point number two. When we say inna, scholars, mufassirun have said that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the first person plural pronoun, and he doesn't say inni anzaltu fi laylatul qadr, but he says inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr, to show the azama of the one who is speaking, the greatness of the one who is speaking. So inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr depicts that I, who is the greatest, Ya Aliyu Ya Azim, that Azama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna anzalnahu, I sent down the Quran in Laylatul Qadr. Now, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down the Quran? The word that Allah uses, anzalna, isn't it? He doesn't say nazalna. And whether he sent the entire Quran or he sent a part of the Quran, this is a question to ask. If you go and see the reality is that the Quran, the nuzul and the revelation of the Quran was of two kinds. One is daf'atan wahida, that is that immediate, all at once revelation. And one is the gradual revelation, which took about 23 years. That Tanzeel. So you find that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Here نُنَزِّلُ نَزَّلَ يُنَزِّلُ تَنْزِيلًا. This Tanzeel is gradual revelation. But when Inzal comes, that is the all at once revelation, إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. That means the entire Quran was sent in Laylatul Qadr. A very important point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send the Quran on the day of Qadr, because there is Yawmul Qadr also if you look at the riwayat, but He sent it in Laylatul Qadr. Layl itself, night, has a very great significance. Phenomenally and microcosmically. Phenomenally, that is, you know, macrocosmically, from the outside world, the night has a very powerful effect according to the Holy Quran, إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَ مُقِيلًا. Verily, any phenomena that happens at night is deeper in impression, has a lot of effect in the soul. Alright? إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَ مُقِيلًا. And microcosmically, that is from the nafs point of view, layl itself shows the non-existence, the reality of non-existence of an entity. That is our reality. If you go and see, we don't have anything. We are not, although we are told that we are faqir, all this is to make us understand that we are faqir. But we are not faqir, we are faqr. That means that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us something, it's not that we have something, that is we have a body, we have a soul of our own. Allah did not give us, no. Allah is giving us everything at the same time. So this everything that we have is Allah's property, not our property. There is nothing like, you know, pre-eternally there are bodies there and souls remaining. It's not like that. Every moment the existence that we get is from Allah. So we are faqrul mahd, according to the great ulama. So that is why this is the connotation of layl, night. The reality of night is a perfect human being who sees that he doesn't have anything, like the Holy Prophet. And that is why, if you look at this riwayah, a very beautiful riwayah narrated from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In the tafsir of Furat al-Kufi, one of the great Shia tafsir, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr." He tries to explain this. He says, "Al-layla, that layl that you are talking about, Fatima, is Fatima Zahra alayhi salam." And then he says, "Faman arasa Fatima, haqqa ma'rifatiha." If a person understands the reality of Fatima, the way she is, in her sanctity, فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ, then verily he has understood what Laylatul Qadr is. Because the reality of Laylatul Qadr is of a perfect human being when you reach that perfection. Because Laylatul Qadr, خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, more, better than 1,000 months, that is 83 years and 4 months. Better than 83 years and 4 months, how many years do we live usually? Sometimes 60, 70, hardly do we live at, we reach at 80, but with Allah's help, all of us will reach 200 inshaAllah. Recite the salawat. But this is a lesson that, you know, within one night, you can go and a journey of 80 years. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. So here, فَمَنْ عَرَفَ فَاطِمَ حَقَّ مَعْرِفَتِهَا فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ. This means that, you know, if you become a perfect human being, then you know what Laylatul Qadr is. And this is an opportunity to make ourselves perfect. And that is when we will really understand what Laylatul Qadr is. Now, why do we say that Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is Laylatul Qadr? What is the meaning of this? If you go and see, scholars have said that the reality is that because Bibi Fatima Zahra alayha salam manifests to be a perfect human being, and she has that sabr, that she has that receptacle to receive the Quran the way the Prophet had, and the way the Aimma alayhim salam had, that is why she is known as Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Verily, we sent the Quran in Laylatul Qadr. And Layla is Fatima, that means she has the capacity of receiving the Qur'an and the Qur'anic message. And therefore, even all the Aimma alayhim salam, because they are insane kamil, they are perfect human beings, they have the receptacle of receiving the Qur'an. Unlike the other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, all the other prophets did not reach that stage of Qur'an which the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam reached. And therefore, during our time, the receptacle of Qur'an is the 12th Holy Imam, Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif. Because according to one riwayah of Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says that Laylatul Qadr was not only one night when the Qur'an was sent, but Laylatul Qadr ta'ti fi kulli sana. It comes every year. And now, the most perfect human being during our time is the 12th Holy Imam, Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ, where does He send? في Laylatul Qadr. The manifestation of Laylatul Qadr is the 12th Imam. But we are told that when this happens, we also get the barakat. And that is why we are told that the 23rd night is when this happens. And that is why we are told that because of that barakat, because of that beautiful atmosphere that can take you very high, because of what is happening in this holy day, you can also be benefited. Not that you also have to receive that. But for you or for us, each one of us, Laylatul Qadr will be that night when we will comprehend a higher reality, when we will become a perfect human being. And that is why it can be on the 15th night, it can be on the 17th night, it can be on the 19th night. But for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, apparently, if you look at so many riwayat, you find that the night when actually this happens is on the 23rd night. 19th night is when everything is made clear. Right? Everything is determined that this person will go to Hajj. This person will get this much rizq. Everybody's proportion is determined. It is known as the Laylatul Taqdeer. Everything is written. On the 21st night, what is written is now stamped. That now this will transpire. And on the 23rd night, it is signed that now everything is finished. But that doesn't mean that, okay, if you say that if everything is finished, then do we have the volition of changing what was finished? No. The thing is that what is finished already is what you will do, what will happen, the dua you will do, after that the benefits you will get, the whole taqdeer which will transpire that you don't know, but that ilm is with the 12th Imam, which is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole year. So it is not something that is written, that this person will go to Hajj, and come what may, this is going to happen, or this one will not go to Hajj. It's not like that. It's taking into consideration what you will do after 1 month, after the days that will come forward. So everything that we do, it's not that, you know, that okay, now Laylatul Qadr is finished. So the whole year, what will happen, is finished now. So Dua Kumail, Ta'til, no Dua Kumail, no Namaz, nothing, because everything is written. No, it's not like that. It is taking into consideration what will happen, that good deed that you will do. For example, the relatives that did not visit you, you go and visit the relatives. And because of that, 50 years are added. Now, that is shown and depicted there, but you don't know. A time comes when you do that. But obviously you are not forced to do that. Allah knows what will you do. This is the important thing, that when it comes to determination and taqdeer, doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to say, okay, for this one, he's going to earn $50,000. For this one, $2,000. No, it's not like that. Does dua of rizq have an effect? The praying on time has an effect? The good deeds that you are going to do has an effect? But whatever you will do, every phenomenon, every hour, every minute that all of us would be performing is there near the 12th Holy Imam Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif. Inna anzalnahu في ليلة القدر. Qadr has got many connotations, and the ulama mufassirin say they don't think that it only refers to one, doesn't refer to another. It refers to all. One of the meanings of Qadr is taqdeer, determination, when things are determined. Another meaning of Qadr is azama, which is a night which is very great, and that is why it is known as Laylatul Qadr. Another meaning of Qadr is because it is extremely valuable. So it is known as Laylatul Qadr. Another meaning given for Qadr is it is that night of conscription, because there are so many angels which are coming down. So if a person really has that inner vision, even if he doesn't comprehend the whole Quran, but because of that inner vision he can literally see all the angels coming. Up to a certain level, obviously, not those angels which need greater receptivity, but those angels which don't need greater receptivity. People like Sayyid Raziuddin bin Tawus in his Iqbal al-A'mal also alludes to the reality that he also could know Laylatul Qadr without telling you what is the date of Laylatul Qadr, just because he had that inner vision. So this is another meaning that reminds me of a very important incident that transpired in Haram of Hazrat Masuma alayhi salam. Allah. Ayatollah al-Uzma Muhammad Taqi Behjat, who is known as a very great Arif, his tendency is that after having recited Salatul Subh, he would go for the Haram walking, and then there he would do the Ziyara every day. It was a daily practice. Once some people reported that when he came there in the Haram, suddenly he said, "Move out, there are so many angels that have come." Now this statement that "move out, there are so many angels that have come," you must understand that in this physical world the angels are not there. But in that metaphysical world, that barzakhi world, which is a higher world. Now sometimes it's not that literally the space is occupied, but he is visioning a circumstance whereby there are so many angels. So this Laylatul Qadr depicts the same thing. That you know, there are so many angels that come in the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, that you literally, if you have that vision, you will find that there is no space. There are so many who have come because of the barakah of Laylatul Qadr. Recite the salawat, please. Inshallah, we will continue this beautiful surah on Laylatul Qadr and in Suratul Qadr, which has a lot of secrets. As I told you that tonight is a very great night. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, says, "Inna lana fi kulli laylatil jumu'ah wafdatun ila rabbina." Verily we the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, every Thursday night, that is Laylatul Jumu'ah, we have an invitation that we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites them every Thursday night. فَلَا نَنْزِلْ إِلَّا بِعِلْمٍ مُسْتَطْرِفٍ. So we don't come out from that realm except with new knowledge. And therefore it is very important for us to really address the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam through different du'as, like du'a at-tawassul, like ziyarat of Sayyidu al-Shuhada salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. The ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is so brilliant that if you look at the volume of al-Mazar in Bihar al-Anwar and just look at the ahadith on the ziyarat of Sayyid al-Shuhada, you'll be amazed that how the A'imma alayhim salam propagated that if you can go every day twice, go every day twice. If you can go every week twice, go every week twice. If you can go every month twice, go every month twice. However much your potential is, go and do the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And more than that, so much so that look at this hadith, you will find that how powerful an effect has the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. دخلت أبو هاشم الجعفري, one of the companions of Imam Al-Hadi عليه السلام, says, دخلت على أبو الحسن علي بن محمد عليه السلام. I entered in the presence of Imam Ali al-Naqi عليه السلام, وهو محموم عليل, and he was in the state of fever and sickness. فقال لي, so he said to me, يا أبا هاشم, ابعث رجلا من موالينا إلى الحائر. Send one of our companions to the ziyarat of Imam Hussein عليه السلام in Ha'ir. يدعو الله لي, so that he can pray for me. Now this is Imam Al-Hadi telling one person, Abu Hashim, that you tell one of our companions to go and pray for me in the near the dome of Imam Al-Hussein عليه السلام. فخرجت من عنده فاستقبلني علي بن بلال. He said that I came out from the presence of the Imam and I went to a person of those lovers of the Imam known as Ali bin Bilal. I met him. فأعلمته ما قال لي وسألته أن يكون الرجل الذي يخرج. He met me and I informed him what the Imam said, and I also requested him that can you do this favor to go and pray for the Imam. So he said, "As-sam' wa-ta'ah." He said, "No problem." ولكني أقول إنه أفضل من الحائر إذ كان بمنزلة من في الحائر. He says that I will go. Ali bin Bilal says, "No problem, I will go." But I'm perplexed because the Imam is even greater than Ha'ir, that dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because he is like Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He is of that status. He has that same nur. وَدُعَاؤُهُ لِنَفْسِهِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ دُعَاءِ لَهُ بِالْحَائِرِ. And his prayer for himself is better than my prayer for him near the Ha'ir of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. فَأَعْلَمْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So this person, Abu Hashim, goes to Imam and just informs the Imam that this is what transpired. And the Imam says, قُلْ لَهُ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَالْحَجَرِ. Tell him that the Prophet was better than Kaaba and Hajar al-Aswad. وَكَانَ يَتُوفُ بِالْبَيْتِ وَيَسْتَلِمُ الْحَجَرِ. But he would circumambulate around the Kaaba and kiss the stone of Hajar al-Aswad and touch it. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى بِقَاءً يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُدْعَى فِيهَا فَيَسْتَجِيبْ لِمَنْ دَعَاهُ وَالْحَائِرْ مِنْهَا. He says, and verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some places where He loves to be called. And one of the places where He loves to be called so that He can respond to the call is Ha'ir of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So you find that the Imam al-Hadi sending a person to do dua for him. This is the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When we say he is al-witr al-mawtub, he is unique in his status. This is what we really mean. Once Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala. What happened is that the oppressive regime burnt the house of Imam, and the whole house was burning, and the Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam started crying and weeping. So one of the ashab asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, "Ya Imam, you are of that high sanctity, and because of this house, because of this hariq, this burning of fire, you are crying?" The Imam said, "I am not crying because of this fire. The moment I saw that this fire transpired, I saw the ladies going from one room to the other. And this made me transported to Karbala, when at night, when the fire was ablaze, you would find that the ladies going from one khaymah to the other." Addressing Abu Basir, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Ya Aba Basir, إِذَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَى وُلْدِ الْحُسَيْنِ أَتَانِي مَا لَا أَمْلِكُهُ بِمَا أَتَى إِلَى أَبِيهِمْ وَإِلَيْهِمْ." O Abu Basir, when I look at the children of Al-Husayn alayhi salam, I cannot control myself because of what happened to their father. يَا أَبَا بَصِيرُ إِنَّ فَاطِمَا لَتَبْكِيهِ وَتَشْهَدْ. O Aba Basir, indeed, Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam continuously weeps for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and also screams out of grief. فَتَا فَلَا تَزَالُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مُشْفِقِينَ يَبْكُونَ لِبُكَائِهَا. Thereupon, the angels also cry because of her weeping. وَيَدْعُونَ اللَّهُ وَيَتَذَرَّعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. And they supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are humble before Him. إِلَىٰ أَنْ قَالْ قُلْتُ جُوَيْنْتُ فِدَاكْ إِنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ عَظِيمٌ. Aba Basir said, tells Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that may I be sacrificed for you. Really, this is something so great. You find that Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, even now in that Barzakhi paradise, cries for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam responds saying, "Ghayruhu a'zam minhu." You have not known other than what you know. It is even greater than what you think. "Ma lam tasma'ahu." Thumma qala, "Ya Aba Basir, ama tuhibbu an takuna fi man yus'id Fatima?"
Don't you want to help Bibi Fatima Zahra alayha salam? فبكيت حين قالها فما قدرت على المنطق وما قدرت على كلامي من البكاء. Abu Basir says, when I heard this from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, I could not control myself and I burst into tears and I could not speak.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.